legislation you have filed proposing to freeze tuitions and fees at Texas public universities. And obviously where I'm at, there's a lot of folks that will be interested in knowing more about this.
Well, sure. You know, you start with the premise that the cost of higher education is rising faster than Texas families can keep up. In addition, it's saddling students into their middle ages with significant amount of student debt. Tuition fees have increased since deregulation in 2003 over 100%. Delinquency rates on our student debt is approaching 20% here in the state of Texas. So it is a problem. It's a problem because our economy is built on our workforce. And our workforce, of course, is developed at our higher education institutions. Without access to higher education, we will continue to suffer in Texas in reference to the economy. So I filed a bill in reference to tuition deregulation, freezing tuition and fees for 1 year, and then allowing the variable portion of tuition to increase and tying it to a cap of the CPI or the inflation rate.
If you could go to a little more detail about the difference between designated tuition and the portion of tuition that universities do have some control over.
Right. Well, there's the statutory tuition, which is $50 per semester credit hour. That's set by the state legislature. Then there's the portion set by boards of regents, and that's the designated tuition. And each university system, Board of Regents, is able to set that designated tuition. I mentioned, I think, that tuition fees has increased 100% over the last 10 years, but the designated portion of tuition has increased 222% over those same 10 years.
And that's the part that you have targeted in this legislation?
It is. I think there needs to be a realization that tuition and fees are increasing faster than families and students can pay for it, and that, you know, it is imperative that access to higher education be maintained. And students are saddling themselves with undue debt, and that has negative consequences on the future of our economy, the future for that individual, their ability to buy a house when they get out of college, their ability to contribute to their employer-sponsored retirement plans. So it has a variety of secondary effects. And the bottom line is we need to address that. I believe tuition deregulation that was passed by the legislature in 2003 has failed Texas students in Texas.
So where's the revenue supposed to come from if I'm a university administrator or if I'm a faculty member who's looking to try to keep my pay competitive with the rest of my peers?
Well, you know, I think we have to balance the budgets of universities with the other overarching responsibility of attaining higher education degrees and access to higher education. You know, what use of having the best institutions and best universities in the world if our students can't afford to attend them? But to speak specifically to your point there, we as a state need to take a hard look at our portion that we're contributing. I believe that is an issue that does need to be addressed in conjunction with the designated tuition side of this. In addition, I think it's imperative that universities look at their outcomes. You know, when is the six-year graduation rate the marker that we should be using rather than the four-year graduation rate? You know, we need to make sure that our public universities are producing the product that we as a state are partially funding, which is individuals obtaining higher education degrees. And then finally, I think some of our loan programs need to be re-emphasized. Senator Ogden, for instance, was one of the instrumental legislators when it came to the Be On Time program, which is a program that incentivizes an individual to get through school in a timely fashion with a B average, and then their loans are either forgiven or significantly diminished.
Going back, you were talking about the 222% increase in the designated tuition.
Over the last 10 years.
Correct.
2003 to 2013.
If you know, because you made a reference also to the state's contribution of $50 a credit hour.
That's right.
How long has that been $50 a credit hour, if you know?
Since 2003, is my understanding. If you look at the amount that state has chipped into higher education, that's been variable over the last 10 years. But it hasn't. It's had periods in which it's increased, periods in which it's decreased. But overall, it's diminished about 10 to 15% over the last 10 years, whereas the designated tuition portion has increased 222%, and the rate of inflation over those 10 years is only 27%. So there's a lot of different numbers there I just threw at you. But in general, the amount of increase of designated tuition is far in excess of the versus the diminished appropriation from the state.
So I guess I'm playing a little bit of a devil's advocate position on behalf of the institutions that are saying the state hasn't chipped in its share and we've had to make up the difference.
Well, I think outcomes is very important, and you know, they have to have a product that people can afford. Affordability for our students in some ways is as important as projects that the university wants to pursue, any university wants to pursue. And the ones that have been actually good stewards of the money, like Texas A&M University, the freeze will actually force the ones that have not been good actors, that have been high tuition schools, to find savings, while the physically responsible ones, like Texas A&M University, will continue to succeed on their current business model. We do have a problem with certain schools in our systems throughout the state, having significantly bloated operating budgets. And that is one aspect that then engenders higher tuition and fees, which then causes students to take out ever-increasing student loans, which cause a kind of a positive feedback loop that is difficult to break. And one way you break that is by putting governors on the amount of increase in the designated tuition portion of the tuition.
And let me have you again repeat, make sure I understand correctly, you don't put Texas A&M in that camp of those institutions that you're wanting to throttle then?
Well, yeah, I think the Texas A&M University system has been fairly judicious in its increase of tuition and fees. They have needs, of course, and the one way they can address those needs is to increase designated tuition. But they have been much better stewards of the money and the decision to raise tuition than other university systems.
And the impact that might have on the institutions, since they've already established their tuition and fee schedules for 15-16?
It wouldn't. They've already established it, and it's already been voted on by the boards of regents, then it wouldn't affect it at all.
Okay.
As of January 1, 2015.
What else have I missed on this legislation that we need to bring up?
Well, the bottom line is deregulation hasn't worked. It's led to ever-increasing tuition and fees at institutions of higher education. And the second point is that student debt is out of control, and student loans are having a profound negative impact on the student and on the economy long term. It's now the second largest source of debt in our nation after mortgages. And we as a legislature need to have that discussion as to how do we go about maintaining institutions of higher education with excellence in both research and education, but at the same time, making sure access is still available for those families and for those students that want a higher education degree.
Do I have it all covered?
Yes, sir. I think you do. We'll be talking more about it, I'm sure.
No doubt.
I would ask everybody to read the op-ed, and I think the Eagle has published something. So there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of individuals with differing opinions about this, but the bottom line is we have to do something to make sure that students have access to a higher education degree. it's imperative. And it's one way forward. At least it stimulates a conversation in Texas and in the legislature.